Welcome to show number 80 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by sportscardradio.com. What's going on, everybody? Thanks for tuning in today. Got tons of stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about 2011 Topps Allen and Ginter baseball, so we'll talk about that set coming out. We got Totally Certified Basketball coming out. That has those video cards for basketball. And we also got a box from Panini that we're going to open up. And normally we just do contests that are like for our fan forum and stuff, but today it'll kind of combo the both of them. You're going to have to be a member of the fan forum, and you're going to have to listen to today's podcast. I'll give you the three things that you need to put in your post on the fan forum, and you're going to be able to get an entry for that, and we'll see who wins some cards. So we'll talk about who wins those on our next podcast. We got a little bit of news. I was just thinking about the other day. I saw this article, and I was reading some forum posts on all the different forums and stuff, and I was thinking, man, it'd be cool to just think about my own set, think about what would get me all pumped up to buy a set. So I kind of laid out a basketball set, maybe not too well, but I have some different ideas and a theme for basketball. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about maybe, you know, conceptualizing our own sets and then getting the word out there. And then maybe one day, hopefully, we see our ideas come to life on cardboard and we'll be able to collect those cards. So I've got a bunch of little notes for that. So that'll be kind of exciting. But to start things off with, we'll definitely talk a little bit about some news. I got this from Cardboard Connection that got it from some other website. They said Kobe and Panini were suing this company called Art of the Game. So hopefully you don't have any Kobe autograph cards or autograph items from Art of the Game, because it appears that they are fake. And Kobe, I think they had like some undercover people, and I think Kobe himself even confirmed that he didn't sign those or it wasn't his signature or whatever. So that is very interesting. It's good that the companies go after people that are mass forging things and stuff like that. It protects your own, if you have a Kobe Bryant autograph or even the chance of getting one, it protects that value and protects that signature. So it's good to see that people are going after that. I saw this posted on Freedom Cardboard, their forums. Somebody said that Brett Favre had an official website and he lowered his autographs on his 8x10s to $44.44. So I was like, wow, that's pretty good. And sure enough, his website is official brettfavre.com. And remember, his last name is spelled F-A-V-R-E. So official brettfavre.com, and he has like a store on there. And the last time I looked, which was last night, sure enough, all he has like 8x10s with the Jets, I think, with all the teams, the Packers, even in college, I think, and maybe even some without a team, kind of just a casual shot maybe I might have saw, but they were all $44.44. seems like a pretty decent price to me. Brett Favre autographs tend to go for, I don't know, I haven't looked in a while, but $44 for a Brett Favre autograph, and it comes straight from his website, at least officialbrettfavre.com. It looked official to me. So that's pretty cool. So just throwing that out there, if you're a Brett Favre fan, or just, you know, $44 sounds like a good price and you've got that kind of money to blow. Brett Favre does have 8x10. I don't know what shipping was or whatever it was, but it still seems like a pretty decent price. I don't know what his normal price was on those, but maybe double that, or around $99. So it is a decent deal. These random basketball prospects come from Mr. Veggie Man on our forum. We have a thread going in the basketball section where we talk about, like, I always think the young basketball players, the NBA does a really good job at promoting Kobe and LeBron and Dwayne Wade and, you know, all the top players. But it seems like if you're not John Wall, or, you know, you weren't drafted number one, I don't even know if DeMarcus Cousins got enough publicity for what he did. But Blake Griffin got enough, I guess. But, you know, hey, let's point out some younger players. So these come from Mr. Veggie Man. He said, I think his name is Nerlens Noel, something like that. He's only like 16 years old, but apparently saw him play in like an AAU game or something like that, and he looks like he's going to be a top prospect. Austin Rivers also is Doc Rivers' son, and he looks like he also said he looks like he's going to be a top pick. I think he might have been going to Duke, but I can't remember what college he's going to. And another one going along the lines of basketball pedigree in your family, Tim Hardaway Jr. I saw he played fairly well for, I guess there was like some kind of USA team 19 and under or something like that, I don't know, or amateur or something like that, USA team, and he was on the team, and he goes to Michigan, and he's not considered a top guy yet, but I guess one website projects him as a lottery pick when he does come out in a year or two from college, so we'll see. But Tim Hardaway Jr., if you don't know who Tim Hardaway Sr. is, you should go back and see. His dad was definitely had some of the biggest biceps in the game, and he was definitely a very solid point guard and a very good player during his time. So it'll be interesting to see. It's funny to see. I remember seeing Tim Hardaway, and now I'm seeing his son play. So it's definitely shows how old I am, I guess. So I wanted to talk about the news a little bit. We'll also talk about, just in a second, I'll throw in the news. It looks like the NFL is going to have a season, so I'm really excited about that, and I'll talk about that in a second. But for the last couple of days, I've been pretty excited. I've had TV, but also ESPN3 has been throwing up the golf this last week, the British Open. It had that on there. And it also has been showing the World Series of Poker, which is pretty cool. I mean, like, if you have no interest in cards, it's probably one of the most boring things. But for me, it's been exciting. And there's somebody that I want to shout out that's still in the event. It's a guy named Brian Devonshire. So if you know anything about poker, if you just want to find somebody to root for in that event, that's a guy that does a podcast. He's just a normal guy, likes to go out on the boat and have a good time. He devotes some time to doing a free podcast about poker and stuff. So I always pull for those kind of guys. So I'm actually going to be probably taking a break at this podcast because it's coming back on here in about 30 minutes. So I'm looking forward to catching the rest of that action. So that's got me kind of excited. So I've been watching TV and watching that kind of stuff. I always hate weeks where like there's all this stuff on TV that you kind of have to watch, like the golf. I really was glad that I watched, even though I was kind of bummed out. You know, Tiger Woods is not playing, and I'm not really too excited about too many of the golfers out there. Ricky Barnes, who went to my high school and played on the same golf team as me, was on the leaderboard for a minute, as he seems to always be in most major championships, but seemed to struggle maybe because of the weather and stuff. But Darren Clarke ended up winning the golf tournament, and if you know nothing about golf, you can skip over this segment. But if you do like golf, and if you don't know much of it, you probably should know a little bit about Darren Clarke if you've been following golf for a while. He's a really, really nice guy. I'm really surprised he won a major this late in his career. But he's a guy that you can just, his swing, and it was great that he was playing. If you don't watch golf a lot, or if you don't really watch and study guys' golf swings and why certain guys can win, like Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus and stuff, there is certain, you know, characteristics to their swing that really help them win, especially later on in life. And Tom Watson's another example of a guy who was like, I think I heard the stat, he was the oldest guy in the field by 10 years. And he was there on the weekend. He wasn't contending like he did maybe a year and a half ago or 2 years ago in the same event. But for a guy that old, it just goes to show you, my point is Darren Clarke and Tom Watson both use their bodies and turn their hips and their legs and their shoulders through the ball very well to square up the club face and to hit. I mean, Darren Clarke was hitting the ball real crispy. He wasn't putting that great, but he was hitting great iron shots, and he was just stepping up. He was playing very quickly. He was just stepping up, all confidence, just boom, just turning his body through the shot. Whereas Dustin Johnson, on the other hand, great swing, hits the ball a long ways, but we saw when the pressure was on, his somewhat armsy, like handsy kind of finish and the way he squares the club face is, being a taller player, he has to use his arms and his hand and just kind of the way his swing sets up on the way down. He uses his hands and he doesn't use his hips and his shoulders and his legs as well. And we saw what happened. And so if you're a casual golfer or if you're thinking about getting into the game and you want to say, hey, I want to find a good pro player that I want to model my swing after or kind of take some cues from, Darren Clarke, Tom Watson, those kind of guys, even Phil Mickelson as a left-handed player. Phil, when Phil's on his game, he turns his body very well through the ball and squares the club face up, and that's what you want to do consistently. You can hit the ball a long ways like Ricky Fowler does and Dustin Johnson and some of these other guys, but if you look at their swings, they're using their hands and their wrists and their forearms a lot more than these other guys. And as you get older and as you get tired and as the pressure gets on you in golf, the more you can use your bigger muscles, the best. And I thought it was great to see. Sorry about the quick like golf lesson or the golf tips there, but I think a lot of people do play golf or at least have an interest in golf. That since mostly male audience, I think most people have exposure to golf. At least you should. It's a fun game. But I thought it was great to see someone like Darren Clarke winning, because I love those guys that square the club face up like him. And he's I think he was like 41 years old, competing with all these 20-something year old kids. He just does a wonderful job swinging the club, and it shows you don't have to putt great. You don't have to, you know, hit three, although he was probably hitting 300-yard drives at times. You don't have to hit them all the time. You don't have to bomb big old shots. You just have to square the club face up consistently, especially when the pressure's on and especially in the wind and in the kind of conditions they were playing in. So I love seeing guys like that win, because it sets a really good example. If you're at home and you're struggling with your game and you're trying to figure out some good tips, those are the guys you want to watch. You don't want to watch the young kids that are bombing it and, like, you know, using their wrists and their hands to just fling the club head. That works. That definitely, you can hit the ball a long ways and you can hit it well. But under pressure, you definitely want to be more like Darren Clarke and Phil Mickelson and those kind of players that use their whole body. So wonderful stuff. I was really excited that he won. And he's somebody that I can't say I was like a fan of Darren Clarke's for his whole career, but he's somebody that I definitely want. Him and Lee Westwood seem to have come up at the same time. So it was good to see that Darren Clarke actually broke through. So that was the golf. On to more United States. I mean, golf followed in the United States, but the most American sport, I think, at this point right now is football. And it looks like these guys are getting a deal done. It looked like the other day it was like for sure. And then going into the weekend and stuff and the next day, it hasn't got done yet. But these things always take to the last minute. I'm sure by the time you listen to this podcast, more news and more things will progress. These things always, especially the hardest thing, especially the toughest issues and the issues that they don't agree on, those will just keep getting pushed off until the last minute. So the tough deals are still getting worked on here, but I think that the NFL has finally worked things through, and it's getting down to that last minute. So as we expected, they'll get it done. And you've heard it here already, but I'll say it again. Everybody's saying, oh, the NBA's not going to get it done. The NBA's not getting it done. No, I think there's definitely a chance right now. Yeah, sure. I could see the NBA not getting it done, but when we get closer and closer to when it's normally time to play basketball, it's normally time to fill up your 25,000 person arena and sell hot dogs for $8.99 or whatever, usually you get in the mood to do that. So I fully imagine in October, September, October, the NBA will be, the fire will be under their seat, so to speak. But the NFL looks like they're starting to put out the flames, and it looks like we're going to start playing football. So I'm really excited. I think the preseason this year, normally I watch the preseason. This year I'm really going to watch the preseason, because I think there'll be injuries. I think we'll see the evaluation, the time to evaluate talent has just gotten a lot shorter. I think the coaches and the teams have plenty of time. I think they'll have plenty of time to see who's in shape, see what rookies, see who what second year and third year players have stepped up or regressed or whatnot. I think they'll have plenty of time, but I think a lot of that will be done in the preseason games themselves. So I think those will be worth watching. Hopefully, though, it looks like to me we'll have at least a full preseason, if not like two or three games, which I think is plenty, but you'll definitely probably want to check those out. I think they show those all and they replay them all day on NFL Network. So if you're playing fantasy football, you have to watch those or you have to read the game summaries and see who got hurt, see who got 25 carries, you know, and did well, you know, throughout the game. So we'll see. I think we'll see some good stuff this preseason. But the other thing I'm really interested in is there's a lot of first-year quarterbacks, but there's also a lot of, I wouldn't call them second-year quarterback, but there's the second-tier quarterback, I guess is my word. And they're not second-tier because these guys, hey, if you're a fan of the Bengals or if you're a fan of maybe even the 49ers, you would take any of these quarterbacks in a heartbeat. But it's time for the people like Matt Ryan and maybe even like Sam Bradford and even Matthew Stafford and Colt McCoy and Joe Flacco and maybe some of these quarterbacks that have been around a couple years to maybe step up and bring themselves up, elevate themselves up to the new, you know, I think Peyton Manning's has some neck injuries, not to push Peyton out the door, but hey, maybe Peyton's getting a little old. Tom Brady hasn't won a Super Bowl in a while, so maybe it's time that we have a new era of quarterbacks come in. So it'll be interesting to see if that torch gets passed during the season or if Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger and Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers, even, it looks like he elevated himself. He was already a top quarterback in terms of production and the kind of things he could do on the field, but he definitely elevated himself as a leader and a Super Bowl champion. So we'll see if somebody else can get themselves up into Aaron Rodgers' world, where they can, you know, not only in the fantasy world and popularity and cards and stuff like that, but we'll see if somebody could win a Super Bowl or go deep. I think all you got to do is go deep or get to the Super Bowl and stuff. And Matt Ryan cards or Sam Bradford or Matthew Stafford or any of these guys, these younger quarterbacks could get to the Super Bowl. Joe Flacco has a chance to get to the Super Bowl. Even Colt McCoy, you never know with the Browns. They've been stockpiling top draft picks for a while now. I expect them to be good at some point. So we'll see what happens. There's even Josh Freeman's another quarterback. He's kind of my fringe guy. It's like those guys that you're not really sure about. You know, is Josh Freeman going to become Matt Ryan, or is he going to become somebody that we don't even collect, or somebody that we don't even talk about in football cards, or that's like a dud hit? So you know, somebody like Josh Freeman could turn into just an average hit. But if he's doing well in Tampa, Tampa's throwing the ball, you know, beating guys and stuff, hey, maybe he elevates himself and turns himself into a star. So I'm interested in that. And then obviously being a Bengals fan, I'm really curious to see what the Bengals do with Andy Dalton. The rhetoric has been he's the starter because nobody else on the team really can play. So we might as well just play this guy. That's basically what they're saying. There's still, I think, hope that Carson Palmer will some reason come back, but I don't see that happening. So we'll see what happens. I think it'll be interesting to see. I think we could have a huge bomb in Cincinnati. It could be like the atomic bomb dropping on Paul Brown Stadium. It could be just horrible. It could be a disaster. People could be wearing paper bags over their heads to the game. Or it could be one of those feel-good seasons where you're like, you know, 6-9 or no, 6-10 or like 7-9, somewhere in that range where, yeah, you didn't really have a very good season, but it felt a lot better than it was because you had a young QB and kind of a makeshift team after your quarterback booked out on you. So I'm kind of interested. That's going to be an interesting story. The Bengals might sign Matt Hasselbeck, Donovan McNabb, or Vince Young, or somebody, you know, and bring them in. But I kind of hope they don't, because I think the story and my interest will be much higher if they're going with a rookie QB, rookie wide receivers, and just throwing guys out there. I think that would be kind of exciting. Backup running backs. this is where the where the money's at, not only in fantasy football. I have trouble mastering the backup running backs, just where it's at, especially late in the season when you're shelving your top guys so you're, you know, he doesn't ruin his knee or something in the last couple games of the season. But this is where you can make a lot of money in cards too, because we had no off-season workouts and stuff, like, so who knows who's in shape or not, you know? A guy can go from a 1,000-yard back like Larry Johnson to basically out of the league like Larry Johnson really quick. So not to say anybody's going to be able to do that, but we'll see what happens. My biased pick is Rashad Jennings. I think Maurice Jones-Drew, he's been the workhorse and he's been carrying the load, I think, since 2006. In Jacksonville, he's had several injuries. They haven't seemed to work in anybody else, except when they had Fred Taylor, I guess, early in his career. So I guess he hasn't been the workhorse since he got there. But it just seems like Maurice Jones-Drew's not a big, big guy. He has more kind of like that Barry Sanders type body, which is good, I guess. You know, he's got big legs and he can take hits. But it seems like Rashad Jennings might get some carries. He had like one good game last year, so we'll see if he can, like, I think it was like a third or fourth round pick, we'll see if he can step in there. I bought his autograph kind of gambling on that. So I think they don't have a whole lot else. I think they got another rookie this year, but they don't have a whole lot else outside those two running backs. So I'll be interesting to see if they like almost split carries there. I almost expect that to happen, so we'll see what happens there. But another guy, not to put the jinx on Adrian Peterson, but this guy just seems like he's been going full bore, and I just don't expect that to continue to happen. Toby Gerhardt is a guy that his cards are pretty cheap, even though I don't know if he has a whole lot of upside, but I think if Adrian Peterson gets injured or something like that, I think, yeah, you'll see his cards go up quite quickly. And Jamaal Charles is a guy that I think he doesn't get the full load. I think if he got the full load, he would put up full load type numbers. So he puts up big numbers. He's still young, and I think they still have a running back there in Kansas City. But I think there's a guy that if he can establish himself as the full starter, and maybe the reason why he doesn't play the whole game is because he doesn't block well or he doesn't catch well, I'm not exactly sure, but I think there's a reason for it. And if he worked it out this offseason, or if he can emerge himself as like an 80%, you know, three down back, I could see him putting up some big numbers. So we'll see what happens. We also saw like Matt Forte last year seemed to have a really bounce back. See, he seemed to have a horrible season the year before and then bounced back and had a really good season. So, you know, what Matt Forte are we going to get this season? Are we going to get the one from a season and a half ago or two seasons ago where he wasn't that good? Or are we going to get the one from last season where he was really good? So we'll see what happens. I think there's going to be lots of opportunities. I think there's going to be a percentage of guys that kept themselves healthy and that are going to be ready to go, but there's going to be a percentage of guys that got lazy or have a family, or like Carson Palmer, who kind of look, you know, like, who knows if they didn't have a lockout looming. And like, but I kind of took it as Carson Palmer saw the lockout looming, he kind of went home and he kind of hung around. I think he has twins and he has a wife, and it's like, yeah, you know, I got a couple $10 million in the bank. You know, I went to USC, I won a Heisman Trophy, I could do an autograph tour just about anywhere but Cincinnati, and I'll do all right if I ever need money. So, you know, I can see players not necessarily thinking along those lines and not even coming back, but I could see some guys chilling, some guys not, you know, taking that extra run or lifting those extra weights. So I think we'll see some injuries. I think we'll see some guys maybe not be 100% and things like that, and not want to take the risk of going out there and playing, knowing that they're not ready, knowing they're not in condition. So I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities. I think a lot of young players that haven't gotten their $10 million contract and things like that, they might be looking to say, hey, maybe they felt the heat of the lockout. Maybe the lockout woke some of these guys up. You know, I'm not saying that if you make I don't know what the league minimum is, but it's probably like $400,000 or $500,000. I'm not saying that's not very much money, but you know, half of it gets taken away by the government, and then with all the lifestyle and just everything you got to pay for, you know, after you take away half of it, you got 200 something thousand. You know, if you got a nice house and a nice car and some gas and things like that, and a boat or anything like that, and a vacation or a diamond ring for your wife, you're left with some money, but we're not talking balling. So, I mean, I think that some players might have taken that as like, hey, I need to get my $1 million contract. I need to get on the field and start working. So I think we'll see some guys take the opportunity that was given to them. They worked out this offseason. Who these guys are, I don't know. You know what I mean? I wish I could have a show where I could be telling you all the guys that I know. But what I do encourage you to do, especially for card buying, you know, especially with running backs and wide, you know, these skill positions, you know, obviously safeties and cornerbacks and offensive linemen, they'll all be taking advantage, and some didn't take advantage of this downtime. But those card values don't move a whole lot. You know, we're talking about the quarterbacks, the running backs especially, wide receivers, the skill positions, the tight ends even to a certain extent, especially guys that get a lot of touchdowns. Those are the positions that you want to focus on in your card buying. And I encourage you to go to the team websites. You know, normally some of them aren't so good, so you might want to try to find a blog or some other kind of resource for news and information, maybe even the hometown newspaper. Oftentimes, if the NFL website kind of sucks, you can go to the LA Times, although the LA Times wouldn't be a very good one because they don't have a football team. But for like the Oakland Raiders, you can get, you know, the Chronicle or whatever. You can get an Oakland Tribune or something. So you want to find the hometown newspapers if you can't, if the website's no good. But I know the Bengals put up lots of good little tidbits about, hey, this guy's been working out, or this guy's been doing this, this guy's been doing this, this guy's been tweeting that he's been doing this. Those are the kind of things that you want to keep an eye out. Twitter is a good one. You know, whether or not, you know, I think a lot of people take Twitter for like it being 100% truth and stuff like that. So who knows if these athletes are really telling the truth all the time. But hey, if they're showing pictures of them in the gym or them running and stuff like that, then you can definitely take it for what it's worth. And if you're following the athletes and stuff and you say, hey, this guy's working out, this guy's taking it seriously, he looks like he's ready, versus the guy that's, you know, tweeting the sunset or tweeting his, you know, $1 million car or whatever like that. More like the Ocho Cinco tweets where he's talking about playing guys in Madden and like Xbox and stuff like that. You know the guys that are going to be ready and which ones aren't. Chad Johnson even tweeted the other day that he was like 9 pounds overweight. So he's telling you the truth. If you're overweight right now, that's not a good sign. Let me tell you that much. You probably want to be underweight at this point. So we'll see what happens in the NFL, but you do want to take advantage of the resources that are out there. I think the NFL this year is going to be great for card buying. Obviously, if you're into NFL cards already, you're going to be buying already. But hey, take advantage of it this year. I think we're going to have lots of movements, lots of different things happening. So take advantage of that, and take advantage of the news, you know, as well. Go to the websites, go to the local newspapers and stuff like that. Try to pick up some, you know, the Facebooks and the Twitters directly from the athletes, or even better in some case if they're real active at it. So those are the things you want to keep an eye out on if you're looking for players, because that's all we got to go on. You know, I'm telling you to do all these things because we don't have game film to watch. We don't have stats. We don't have highlights on ESPN. We're still waiting for all that. So until that meantime, sometimes this is the best opportunity, though. If you're getting in there and scooping the backup running backs or scooping the running backs, not necessarily like Jamaal Charles, but a guy like that, that, hey, had some solid seasons and looks like, hey, if you gave him some more carries, maybe if he learned how to block or learned how to, you know, do different things in the offense or learn some plays or whatever it's holding him back from being that like 100% back, hey, if he got that opportunity, he'd put up 1,600 yards, he'd put up 1,800 yards. So those are the guys you want to look for early on, because the minute, you know, hey, if they're going to have 1,800 yards this season, the first game they're going to pop it off for 150, and it might be too late. you know. So those are the kind of things you want to get on early, get on even before these preseason games start. So I encourage you to do that. But right after this, I encourage you to take a break, go get a Pepsi or go get some water. Go relax a little bit. I'm actually going to relax for a second, but right when we come back, we're going to be talking about Totally Certified Basketball, and I'm going to be giving out at least one or two hints. There's going to be a grand total of three things that you'll have to answer and put in our forum thread to enter the contest, but I'll give you at least one or two hints as we preview this product, Totally Certified Basketball, right after
this. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. And I know.
Time to talk about some Totally Certified Basketball. This was a set I've been waiting for. I've been kind of waiting to see what the cards look like and stuff like that. And now that I looked at the checklist, it definitely just cost me like $8 or something like that, because I'm definitely going to get one of my favorite players from this set. So we'll see if I'll be able to score one this week. But I just looked at the completed auctions, and Jordan Crawford autographs go for about $8, which is pretty surprising because I actually like the looks of those. But we'll get to the rookie cards in a second. This came out a little bit earlier in the year. We actually got a box from Panini. I'll be giving you details throughout today's program on how to enter. I'll give you plenty of time. I'll have to shoot out the expiration date on that here toward the end of the show. I haven't actually figured it out myself, so I'll figure that out also throughout the course of the show. But for you loyal listeners, you'll hopefully hop right in there and take advantage of this. But anyways, this box came out earlier this month. $120 a box. It's $20 a pack. There's six packs per box. Each pack has a hit in it. There's six autographs or memorabilia cards per box. There's two mirror red parallels, which are out of $4.99, and four inserts out of $4.99. Looks like every card is serial numbered, at least in the base set. They're out of 1849, so that's kind of an interesting number. As I was actually going through kind of putting together my own set, since I'm not really very good at math, I think it'd be a fun thing to do if you're good at math. But basically they give you the print run of all 150 base cards in this, and then they have mirror red parallels, blues, golds, greens, blacks, and then there's actually some autographs too. You could actually go and figure out basically how many cards there were and how many boxes and get kind of a rough number. I'm sure that information's out there already, but they pretty much give it to you out here. I think if you're a math major, it wouldn't be very hard, or if you're good at math, it wouldn't be very hard. But for me, it's too much work. But I thought that was kind of interesting. I like sets that are every card serial numbered. I like sets that just kind of give it to you right up front. Every card's out of 1849. That means this stuff's going to sell. Most basketball kind of sits around, maybe doesn't sell out, quote unquote. I think a product like this is probably going to sell out. I don't think you're going to be able to find boxes of this just laying around the hobby shops and online and stuff. I could be wrong, but I think there's enough in here that'll probably sell it. And I think being that every card is numbered and there's just doesn't seem like there's a whole heck of a lot here aside from the base set and the rookies and some video cards, this stuff is probably pretty limited, and I put that in quotes, but compared to some other sets, this is pretty limited. All the rookies are numbered out of $5.99. They're all on-card autographs, and they have, like, rookie spelled out kind of interesting, and it looks like there's, like, a jersey piece underneath, like a player-worn jersey piece, and they have patch versions, too, which are kind of interesting. I really like the cards. They're signed on-card. The only problem is the window they gave the cards, the players to sign looks pretty small. Looks like the guys had to kind of squeeze their signatures in there. But either way, they're still nice cards. It gives you, like, a little bit of a jersey piece that's covered up by rookie. I kind of like that to kind of keep away from people messing those up. And the patch looks really nice under it. My brother has a picture of Quincy Pondexter on here, and the patch looks really nice under there. So that's pretty cool. And I checked Jordan Crawford. He's in his Wizard uniform. And I've wanted the Classics one was a redemption, his Classics, Panini Classics autograph. I think I said this on the show, and I got the redemption. I was thinking maybe it's because they wanted to get him in his Wizards uniform, because the set kind of came out quite a bit after when he got traded, but sure enough, he's in Atlanta Hawks uniform, so it kind of bummed me out. I kind of want one in his Wizards uniform, so I checked the price of these. These only sell for $8. For a player, I mean, people know about this guy, but I think he has some upside on that team. We'll see how the lineup shakes out. I've read some things. If that team does play, they do have plans for him and John Wall, and they have other players, Nick Young, and they have I think a new draft pick that should fit right in. So we'll see how it works out. But I think that's a good buy. I'm sure the John Walls. It looks like if Jordan Crawfords are selling for right in that right price, that sweet spot price range, depending on the serial number of the rookie, I'm sure they're all selling in line. But I do like the looks of these with the patch and the on card signature. That's something I don't think we've seen this year. We've seen Classics with the on card. There's the wood with threads, and there's been a couple other ones. But this is pretty nice. The base rookies are on card autograph and have a little jersey piece that is, I believe, player worn. I could be wrong, but I'm guessing that with that many copies, it probably is. So that's pretty cool. There's some inserts in here. The big kicker is there's these video cards, and there's 40 regular copies of each player, and there's 10 autograph copies. So there looks like there's my brother says there's 204 cards available, and they're redemption cards. So the video cards aren't exactly in the packs, but I'm guessing you probably will get it fairly quickly, because I believe they've shown video of the actual card and things like that. So these will probably be like those golden ticket cards, which Panini looked like they were shipping out very quickly once you redeem them. So I could be wrong on that, but that's my hunch on these. In these video cards, I can imagine the autograph cards will just go for ridiculous prices. I'm not sure if you know. It's a pretty cool, it's actually a pretty cool decision. Hey, if you pulled the autograph one, or even the non-autograph, like if you pulled Kobe's video card, especially if you were one of the first persons to pull it, I think it would be pretty cool to sell it, you know, without even redeeming it. But who knows? We'll see what route people take. There's not many of them out there. So we'll see when they start turning over into people's hands. My brother was like one of the first people, if not the first person, to buy the Upper Deck video card, and he put up a YouTube video, got like 1,000 something views and stuff like that. So the first people, I don't think we can afford to buy, if there's only 50 of them of each player, if there's only two, that's probably going to be well out of my price range. So we'll see what they end up looking like, what collectors end up getting them, how it ends up going. But I thought they were going to be a little less limited than this. This is pretty limited. The exchanges expire January 6, 2013. So you've got some time if you want to speculate on a box or something. I don't think that the rookies in this class are like worth speculating on, although there is some meat here. I think DeMarcus Cousins could be a solid player. Evan Turner might be pretty good. I mean, I think I see a lot of solid players in here. I don't know if I see a lot of like game changers and like big time stat movers and stuff like that outside of John Wall, who I don't even know how much his cards could go up unless he really, really starts playing well, because his cards already sell for a lot of money. You know, probably, I don't know, you could do a compare. I think his cards sell for well over $100, sometimes $200 in some cases. I mean, Chris Paul and Deron Williams and some of the top point guards in the game. I'm sure some of their top rookies sell for that much, but I'm sure they have autographs that don't. So you got to play well after a while. I don't know if I see, you know, as a box speculator, I think I see a little value in this product because I think it is more limited than some of the other Panini sets, because there's 150 base cards, 1849. There's a couple other, it looks like there's maybe about 700, 800 other parallels of that. So it's not that many cards. So we'll see how this sells on the secondary market and stuff like that. It doesn't look like, if Jordan Crawford's autograph is about $7, I looked at completed, they were like $8 shipped, $9 shipped. If they're not selling for over $10, $11, $12, $13, then it's definitely not exploding, at least on his end. But I'm sure the John Walls are nice. I've been also looking for DeMarcus Cousins. He's like right at there at second tier where his sell for most of his autograph rookies sell for $25, $30. Sometimes a little bit less if you can buy him pretty well. So I might look at his cards in these. I think these are worth taking a look at. This is a set, like I said, I've done most of the Panini's nice enough to send us boxes and stuff like that. So I try to talk about their stuff on the show, but I'm pretty sure I talk about almost every basketball set because I love basketball the most, and I actually don't know if I get excited about basketball sets all the time. I know I got excited about Donruss. I know I'm going to be really excited about Gold Standard and Gold. Actually, speaking of Gold, I was going to slip this in next week, but Gold hit a peak of like $1,600 an ounce. I think it's like at its all time high right now. So it's like perfect. I think Gold Standard basketball comes out here really soon for Panini, so that'll be really, really perfect timing for them as Gold's like peaking, their set comes out that actually has like little gold bars in there, so that'll be really cool. I know I'll probably love National Treasures. Those are sets I probably can't afford too many of the cards in there, so we'll see if I even make a play for any of those cards. But this is a set, it's affordable. If Jordan Crawford, you know, $8, you know, if you just want to take a gamble on somebody, I think he has some upside, because I'll give you my insight right before the strike happened in the NBA, or the lockout, or whatever you want to call it. I read an article in some Washington Post or something like that, where they said the coach met briefly with, I think it was like Nick Young and Jordan Crawford and like somebody else on the team in Los Angeles, and they all kind of got a game plan and kind of a head start on you know what's going to happen next season. And the coach was quoted when you talk about players as saying, hey, you know, Jordan's going to be in there with John Wall, and we got Nick Young coming back from his late season injury, and we got this rookie and stuff. So at least the coach mentioned him, and he's down in Los Angeles, or one of the coaches was down there talking to him. So that's a positive sign when the coaches are including you in off season and mentioning your name kind of as that starting lineup. That's a good sign. So, and I think he has upside for the amount of points he could put up. So that's what you want in basketball. You know, an $8 rookie, if he can drop 20 points a game, that's a solid $13, $15 card pretty easily in most cases, because he'll get tons of fantasy love if he can average 17, 18 points a game. That'll be pretty tough. I don't see him doing that. But like I said, there's some rookies in here. Evan Turner kind of interests me. Greg Monroe. Landry Field still interests me. Eric Bledsoe is another guy, but his playing time is interesting. We'll see if he's able to work that out. We'll see. There's lots of guys that didn't really get a whole lot of time, so we'll see what happens with this set. But I think this is a pretty cool set. Haven't seen too many sets that I just like run out and put Jordan Crawford on my watch list, but this is definitely one. They got him in a Wizards uniform and they got him on card, so I think this is a good set for those collectors out there that are looking for a good late season set. And I think with Gold, like I said, we got Gold Standard pretty much on the horizon. We've got Season Update comes out here pretty soon, and then National Treasures, and I think that might be it. So unless they slip Hall of Fame basketball in there again like they did last year right at the end, that might be it for us basketball collectors until they they come out with something new for next season, we might be then looking into next season. So, but this might be the last, aside from season update, this is that, you know, I don't know if $120 for a whole box is affordable, but, you know, certainly a pack for $20 is not a bad price. And, you know, on the secondary market, you can pick up plenty of these rookies for under $10. So definitely worth taking a look at, I think. I don't normally, like I said, I don't normally say this, but I immediately, right when I looked at this checklist, my brother put up a lot of nice pictures and stuff. Like, right when I saw the rookies, I was like, wow, these are actually kind of nice. I'm going to go see if Crawford's in his Wizards uniform. Sure enough, he is. And that pretty much sold me. So don't go bid up those until I win one. No, I'm just kidding. You can do whatever you want. I might not even get to it for a while because I think this NBA, I'm encouraging you to go buy NBA cards, but I encourage you also to keep an eye on the lockout. I don't think we need to go out and buy, you know, with a flurry and stuff like that, because I think they're going to take our time. Like I said earlier in the show, these things always, they always go to the last minute. Nobody ever like works out their CBA early. You know, maybe sometimes it happens. Maybe baseball did it. I don't know. Or they add an extension at some point because it's going well for both parties. But that rarely happens. Usually when they get to lockout, it goes until the last possible minute. So you better wait. Not necessarily wait, but understand that you got all summer to buy basketball cards, because I don't see either side really budging to make it where it's like, wow, we're 100% confident we got basketball. It's going to go right down to the wire just like football does and is. So we'll see what happens. Well, hopefully we don't with basketball. I'm hoping that they work it out. I'm hoping that they somehow strike a miracle, but we'll see what happens. And on the subject of that, we'll throw in, I said I was going to give away some clues on how to enter to win a box. This is a $120 box, and we've got six packs. That's $20 each, so we're probably going to have, we're going to have six winners here, and hopefully we have six people that enter. So I'm sure we probably will, but your first answer, I want you to number out your answers, and there'll be a thread up in the contest thread for the Certified Basketball. Once this podcast goes live, I'll put up a thread, and I'll kind of explain a little bit more how I want you to answer this. But your first answer is, I want you to talk to me about these video cards. I kind of gave you my opinion. I thought when this was coming out, I thought they were going to be a little bit more plentiful. I thought there were going to be a few more of these, but it looks like there's only like 200 of them. Oh, and my brother says there's gold one-of-one autographs of each player. So that's cool. So, wow, those will be huge if you pull the gold one-of-one. So that's why there's that extra four on there. I get extra four. So that's pretty interesting. I thought there'd be a few more of these. I don't know how you feel about these video cards. Is it enough to make you, I mean, with only 200 of them out there, is it enough of a draw besides all the other stuff in the set to push you over the top? Is it just, you know, what do you think about these video cards? Do you think it's going to, I also think this is kind of a premium product, you know, $20 a pack, there's, you know, $120 a box. It's right in that, you know, where you're getting to a premium product. Hey, will they ever have video cards in like a regular product, like Score or like Donruss or something like that? You know, is that where these video cards will go, or to be, it'll be so common, like a jersey card and an autograph is in a dollar pack or in dollar packs? And so could you get a video card in a dollar pack in the future? So we'll see. Maybe answer some of those questions. Just let me know how you feel in the first one. And the second question I want you to answer is, I just want you to put the team name here. Don't say anything else. I just want you to put the NBA team name after you think about it. And here's my question. We were just talking about the lockout, and the NBA owners are saying something, they're claiming, and it's been refuted in like the New York Times or some newspaper or magazine. They were kind of going back and forth with the NBA. It was kind of funny. The NBA didn't have any pictures or really anything on their website for a while, except they're basically going back and forth with this other newspaper, this New York newspaper or something, refuting stats and like numbers and stuff like that. And so it made me think, it's like, okay, the NBA said like 20 some odd teams were losing money in the NBA, and I understand that. I could imagine Probably a lot of teams are making money. I don't know if it's 20. We all know the teams that are making money. You know, the Knicks and the Chicago Bulls, Miami, Dallas Mavericks have been doing well even before the championship. Obviously, the Los Angeles Lakers, and there's a handful of other teams that make money. But those are the major players. Okay, now, I was wondering, of those 22 teams, I want you to just put the team name. Who do you think is losing the most money? Like, you know, if you think it's the Kings, just put the Kings. If you think it's the Bobcats or something like that, just put the Bobcats. I want to find out who you think of all the NBA teams. What team is losing the most money? And maybe that information's out there. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But just put the team name. I just want to see who you think is losing the most money out of all the NBA teams. And when we say losing money, we're probably putting that in quotes, because like the NBA players claim and some of these New York Times articles claim, you know, when you say you lose money on an asset that is worth, every NBA team is worth, we know, we just saw the Warriors just were sold for like a couple hundred million dollars. Every single NBA team is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. So how can you say that, you know, it's all relative is what I'm trying to say. And I don't know if the newspaper article really was trying to make that point, but I've read some other articles and some blogs and stuff saying, hey, you know, you say that all these teams are losing money, but if this guy put his team on the block, he would get $300 million. And most of these owners bought the team maybe 10, 15, especially if they bought it 10, 15, 20 years ago. They brought up an example of I think the Pacers owner paid, like, I forget what he paid. It was like either $20 million or $70 million. I know that's a big gap, but it was like somewhere in that range for the Pacers many years ago. Well, the Pacers have got, with the arena that they have, and, you know, when they do play well, the fan base there is really good. That team's worth hundreds of millions of dollars if the Warriors are worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and they play in a dump. So, you know, it's all relative. So this guy's investment has 100, his 20, 30, $50 million investment, whatever it was, has 100x or 10 times gone up in value, and he's claiming he's losing money. You know, that it's just, to me, it's just, hopefully they can work it out. I think it's all this, like, bickering with the numbers and stuff like that, like I said, it's all kind of relative. Like, you know, how can you say you're losing money on an investment you can sell any day of the week for 10 times, 100 times more than you paid for it? So we'll see what happens. But number two, there's going to be three questions, and we'll give the third one away later. But the first one is, tell me about video cards. Second one, tell me of all the teams in the NBA, which one's losing the most money? Who's broke? Who's trying to borrow money from Citibank or whatever? So let me know. And right after this short break, we are going to come back and talk about 2011 Topps Allen and Ginter baseball. So, and that'll perfectly segue into our last segment, or one of our last segments, where we're going to be like, kind of, I'm going to design a basketball set. I almost did the designing my own basketball set right after the basketball, but Ginter's one of those sets where it's kind of wacky, has a kind of some different stuff. It's gotten kind of familiar now, but they always kind of spice things up. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll kind of like do our own play on Allen and Ginter. And you have that to look forward to right after this.
Sometimes I feel the fear of uncertainty.
Topps Allen and Ginter baseball right before this break. But we are running out of time, and I want to do another show here shortly about gold standard basketball. I just got finished putting up the checklist for that. That set looks amazing, like, for basketball collectors. That most sets have a lot of, like, rookies and a lot of, like, rookie autographs and player-worn material and stuff. This has a lot of veterans, and a lot of the inserts are all veterans and not a whole lot of rookies in there. I know there's, like, rookie signatures and stuff like that in there, and I'm sure that makes up a decent amount of the hits. But, man, there's a whole lot of veterans and stuff like that. So we'll definitely talk about that set and Allen and Ginter on our next show, unless we just totally blow it. But that's the plan for now. But the plan for this segment is to talk about our about my fantasy basketball set, basically. I kind of came up with a couple of ideas, kind of was thinking along some different lines, and got an idea on the fan forum as well. So we'll talk about that right now. And I'll also throw out our final clue, or our final question that you have to answer for our contest. So we'll do that during this segment. But basically, I remember a couple years ago, there was a set called, not a couple years ago, but many, many years ago, I believe Upper Deck came out with a set called Locker Room, and they put it in this box that kind of looked like a locker. And I thought that'd be kind of tight. So, you know, most sets have a theme, like Gold Standard. All the cards had like gold, this and that. So Locker Room, I was thinking, man, there's a lot of things that go in the locker room, lots of things in the locker room that fans could be a part of, and it could be a pretty cool set. So I was thinking we could have a locker type box, and then inside I was thinking something kind of neat. I was watching interviews of somebody, I can't remember if it was football or basketball, but I could see their locker, and I could see there was like a safe in there, and I guess that makes sense because employees and media and all kinds of people get to come into the locker room, and a lot of athletes have $10,000 diamond rings and diamond earrings and $50,000 necklaces, so it is probably wise that they have a safe so there's no liability and they can lock all their $100,000 jewelry and all that stuff up, and maybe Super Bowl rings up in a safe. So I was thinking that'd be kind of cool to have in there too. And I was thinking it'd be kind of neat, I don't know how fans would react to this, but try to set it up in a way to where you had to either go find a code for the safe, or you had to find like a code inside one of the packs to open up the safe. And so I thought that would be kind of neat. Obviously it'd be kind of frustrating if you open the box and then you have to open up this locker with some kind of code, but it encouraged people to get online, people to find the codes, people to trade the codes, people to rent the codes, whatever it might be. I thought that might be kind of neat. Also, like boxes maybe with no strict guarantee where it's like two autographs, two memorabilia. I think if you just leave it wide open and say you get a range of autographs, memorabilia, and then some boxes are delivering five autographs and some are delivering three jerseys and two autographs and all kinds of different things. So I thought that would be kind of neat. As a parallel, I think we could have basketball. I think it'd be kind of neat. I know that Topps and many other sets had kind of a basketball type border. I think you could do that and have like the basketball color. You could have black and you could have maybe red basketball or like multicolored basketball border. So I think that would be kind of neat. I would think home and road jersey. I think you could do like a short print variation of each base card where the one version is the road jersey and then everybody has an SP where it's the home jersey or something like that. So I think that would be kind of interesting as well. I also thought another parallel would be kind of neat. I know that Donruss Elite has like status, which is done to the player's jersey number. I think it would be kind of neat if you did it to the player's high score, high point total in last year's NBA season. So like someone like Kobe and Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James, they would have, you know, 40, 50. Their cards would be out of 50 or 40 or however many they scored. And their cards are naturally worth more than most people. Whereas somebody like, I don't know, like Lamar Odom might not have scored more than 30 points, or even like, I don't know, Ron Artest probably didn't drop a huge amount of points in a game. So someone like those guys, their cards would be out of far less. So I think they would make lesser known players or less collectible players slightly more valuable because it would be kind of exciting to collect their cards. So thought I would throw that out there. Another thing, we had a suggestion on our fan forum from Steel Second. He says, you know, these Madden covers and like EA Live and stuff like that are pretty interesting. And so he was thinking that, hey, a lot of people collect video games. Why don't we cross-brand things? And I kind of thought of the same lines, whereas, hey, in the locker room, these guys come to the game, you know, in their you know, Nike outfits or like Reebok sweats, or some of them show up in suits too. I guess we could cut up suits and stuff like that. But, you know, I was thinking, hey, what a great way to advertise for Nike and Reebok and Adidas and And1 and all these companies that have brands in the NBA. You know, it's basically a basketball card with their logo on it, maybe product information and stuff like that. That's like a business card that you know that's not going to get thrown away, and that's going to be passed around, and it's going to be read and collected. So I don't know if, you know, Panini or any company has approached Nike and stuff like that to do kind of a cross-branded thing where maybe even Adidas will pay for it, or pay for the athletes, Reebok will pay for John Wall to be there, throw on a couple Reebok, their newest gear and stuff, cut it up, give them some product information, some pictures and stuff like that. Nike, I know they're protective of their brand, and so is Jordan, but I think it would be kind of interesting if, you know, Kobe had his own line of shoes and all cut up and all these different, I know he has like Mamba t-shirts and all this stuff. I think it'd be kind of interesting to have a picture of him and then cut up the t-shirt and throw those on there. So I think that would be kind of interesting. I also thought about Gatorade, like guys are drinking Gatorade on the sidelines, but also in the locker room probably too, at halftime. Maybe like the cap to the Gatorade. I think that would be kind of neat. If you got the cap to, you know, Ben Wallace's Gatorade or something like that, that would be kind of interesting. Coach's playbook. I think this has been done maybe in football, but I'm not exactly sure in basketball. But it would be kind of interesting if you got coaches to, you know, give them a white piece of canvas on a basketball card and let them draw out a play. You could also, if they can't do it on a piece of cardboard, like a box topper is basically like the size of a clipboard. I think it would be cool for them to X and O draw out a play, and then you could have it signed by the coach. And if it's like Kobe's play, it'd be cool to have Kobe sign it and Phil Jackson sign it. It would be pretty interesting. So I think that would be an interesting card. Another interesting card for basketball or any sport would be like a shoelace card. They might have done this, but I guess you could get like the shoelace, even if it was player worn. I think it would be kind of interesting. And then actually put holes in the card and then lace the laces in between the card. I think that would be kind of neat. So you pull a card and it's like kind of got laces in it. And then I guess you could, you know, to protect fakes and stuff like that, you could put a hologram. You could seal the ends of the laces with a hologram or something so people can't take it off or whatever. So I think that would be kind of interesting. I've never seen like zippers and like drawstrings on the shorts and stuff like that. I think it would be kind of interesting to get the warm-ups have zippers and some of them have half zippers, and the button downs, their tearaway button downs. I think it would be interesting to see those kind of pieces. I'd like to see like super team cards come back. If you remember stadium club cards, if they had like all 30 teams or however many teams were in the sport, and then if your team won the Super Bowl or won the championship NBA title or whatever, you got to send that card in, and you got like a free set of that team, a little commemorative set. I'd like to see that come back. And then I remember Crash the Game cards, where if your player scored over a certain amount of points or got a stat line on a certain day, you could redeem it. And then they had silver and gold versions of those, so that was even more rare if the player happened to score the amount of points. So I thought those would be kind of interesting. Another interesting thing, I think they could use magnets a little bit more in sets, where you have cards where you have some cards where they stick on your refrigerator, and then I think you could have the SP cards where it's like the opposite charge, so it like either sticks to the backs of the other ones, so that's the way you know it's an SP, or it kind of repels against a refrigerator or something like that. So I think that would be kind of neat, to put magnets on the card, so you could either stick them on the refrigerator if they were kind of a low price insert. You could stick them on the refrigerator, kind of annoy your parents sticking them on all these different places. But then have short print ones where they were kind of like, they didn't stick on things and you kind of had to put them in sleeves. I think that would be kind of interesting. I also thought it would be interesting to have a league pass. You know, they have league pass on the on the TV, with if you have like Comcast and DirecTV and stuff like that, you can buy the League Pass there, but you can also buy it online. I think it's like you can buy it by the month or buy it by the whole year or whatever. I thought it'd be interesting to give out codes where you get free passes on that, or you get a couple weeks. The NBA could, if they're trying to spur membership in there, try to go right to the people that, you know, hey, if you're buying basketball cards, chances are you're probably interested in checking out some basketball games. So I think some value added kind of things like that where you're getting either 10% off some Nike gear or, you know, a League Pass subscription for a week or a week's trial, something like that. I think that would be kind of interesting. On the same lines as super team cards and stuff like that, I was thinking about marathon cards where you get these cards, and if your guy plays all 82 games in the NBA season, which is pretty tough to do, not a whole lot of guys do it, and not all the top players end up playing 82 games. It's a lot of some of these guys that don't play heavy minutes and don't, you know, play 25 minutes a night, 30 minutes a night. They're contributing, but they're staying rested enough to where they play all 82. I think it would be cool to have a marathon set where if your guy plays all 82, you send that in, you get a special autograph or a special card of that guy, something like that. I think it would be pretty interesting. Let's switch things up, and I'm going to give out our last entry. So we've given out the first two, and our last one is basically what I want you to do is for your third answer, take the number of months that you've been a member of our fan forum. So if you just signed up, it'll be zero, I guess, or one. And then everybody else, if you've been there 10 months or 12 months or 24 months, whatever it is, and then take your posts. And then go ahead and divide the two. Basically, you're trying to find the number of posts you've made per month. So if you've, you know, been there 10 months and you have 100 posts, I guess that would be 10 posts per month, something like that. And just put the number. Don't put your math. Don't put how you figured out the number. Just put the number. And I'm not going to check to see if you're right. So you can estimate. You don't have to get the months exactly right. But your posts should be right there. You should be able to see how many posts you have. You could guesstimate on the number of months if you've been there several months. But put the average, basically, go ahead and make it a whole number and put the number of posts you've made per month so you can have an average there. So 1, 2, 3, boom. Anybody that does those three, you have to go through earlier in the show. I gave out the first two. And you'll be able to enter into our contest to win Panini Certified Basketball Hobby Box. So that should be super exciting. And that, I guess, about wraps up today's show. I was very excited to finish, like I said right before the segment, I just finished putting up the gold standard checklist. I encourage everybody. I think that set comes out. We got certified. Panini Certified is more, now that I look at it, probably getting more in my price range. But I encourage everybody out there that has any interest in basketball cards. I think gold standards SRP is right around $200 a box or more. So it's not for everybody, but I'm sure the single cards and stuff like that, a lot of the rookies are at $299 and stuff like that. So, you know, you could check out, there's tons of inserts. I don't know if there's been a Panini set other than maybe National Treasures that's had this many cards, this many insert sets. So it looks like Panini spent a lot of time on gold standard. So I spent a little bit of time dreaming up my set, threw out a couple interesting ideas out there. We'll see if anybody picks up on them or anything like that. But I think maybe the strongest thing there is maybe trying to team up with Nike and Adidas and Jordan and One and Reebok and stuff like that, since they have relationships with the athletes. And if you're collecting sports cards and you like John Wall or you like Kobe or you like LeBron, to me, I know these companies are big companies and they don't necessarily have to go to the micro niche advertising level to get their customers, because people just walk in the door and buy their products anyways. But, you know, if you're buying basketball cards and you love John Wall, it seems to me, you know, the card collector is where it's at. You know, if you're trying to sell a Kobe Bryant branded, you know, I could see people buying the shoes and stuff like that, but Kobe and Jordan and LeBron, they have jackets and t-shirts and socks and underwear and all kinds of different things you could buy. I could see if you're trying to sell all that, it would be great to go to a sports card collector, because if you love Kobe enough to buy a bunch of his basketball cards, chances are you wouldn't mind buying his tracksuit or whatever he's got, his Mamba 5 Rings t-shirt or whatever it might be. So that's just, I'm just throwing that out there. I think anything where we could get more interaction, more, you know, the athletes putting on stuff and taking it off, even if it's player worn or not game used and stuff like that. I think it makes those kind of sets like kind of like gold standard. There's a lot of game used stuff in there. There's a lot of autograph. There's a lot of prime. There's a lot of Hall of Fame kind of stuff. So there's a lot of Kobe's in there, too. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. It kind of makes those sets kind of stand out. And if you could kind of get, hey, Nike to throw out a couple T-shirts worn by LeBron and things like that, it just kind of adds to the pool. So we'll see if any of those things come to fruition, but hopefully your collections are coming together. Hopefully everything's going good for you. We'll have another podcast here very shortly. We'll talk about Topps Allen Ginter baseball as promised, and then we'll talk about Gold Standard basketball. Even though we've already kind of talked about it today, we'll definitely talk about it a little bit more. I'll be looking for the Jordan Crawford autographs. We'll see how much those sell for. I put in a bid, I'm recording this actually a day after I recorded the first half, and I actually put in a bid for the certified, totally certified Jordan Crawford, but I just missed out. So I'll have to go and watch a few more, see if I can't pick up one of those going into the weekend. So hopefully the rest of your week goes well. And get in on our totally certified basketball contest. I've already explained how to get in on that contest. So get in on that. You have until, let me figure it out here. You have until, we're going to run this until, we're going to just run it for basically a week. So we'll run it till the 28th. So basically next Thursday. So July 28th. So if you're listening to this podcast after that, you're out of luck. But we'll probably have more contests on the forum as we speak. But get in on this one. Totally certified basketball. Who knows what we'll get? So maybe John Wall, maybe Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant. Maybe we'll get one of the video cards. We'll see what happens. And we'll see what happens on future episodes. But thanks for tuning in today. I think I also said we were going to talk about Jerry Rice, but this show has gone on too long, and I don't want to run the risk of it not uploading. So right around an hour is long enough. So we'll come back with another show here shortly. Thanks for tuning in today. We are out of here.